Very thankful to be with y'all today. Brother Joe had extended an invitation, had wanted us to come, and very thankful that he did. It's been a couple years since I've been here. Brother Joe, very thankful for you. Brother, where are you? Okay. Well, he over the years, y'all know Brother Joe, y'all are here with him even more than I am, and always been encouraged just by his. He's not shy to tell you and encourage you in the Lord, and very thankful for that. I pastor Bethlehem Printing Baptist Church there in Bay Springs and the Good Hope Association, and I want to selfishly put a plug in. We have our association upcoming the first weekend in October. It'll be Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning. But we'll have services Friday morning, afternoon, and night. And the same on Saturday and also Sunday morning. But please come and be with us for that meeting. It will be hosted at Bethlehem Church there in Bay Springs. I have been attempting, with the Lord's help, to preach through the book of James at Bethlehem Church. And as I was doing that, one of the things that jumped out to me in that book that I had studied before and considered before, but it never really left the impression that it did until I studied it this last time, was teachings about the tongue and about the mouth in Scriptures. And just the significant amount that the Bible addresses this subject. And so this morning, I would like to actually back up a little bit. If you will, if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33. I want to look and read a few verses about what the Lord speaks about this. written, you'll find that written in red in your Scriptures. Jesus Christ taught on this, Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33. The Bible says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Verse 34. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So what is the context of this passage of Scripture? These Pharisees, these wicked Jewish men, had just got through accusing Jesus that he was casting out devils by the hand of Beelzebub. And, you know, there are other scriptures that talk about that a house divided cannot stand against itself. But Jesus comes here to verse 33 and he says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit." He's saying, you Pharisees, even though y'all are wicked and corrupt, you have a logical mind. And he's saying the fact that you're accusing me of casting out these demons by the power of the devil, he said, that's illogical. He says, you've got to pick and choose. He said, whom do your men, whom do the Jews who are quote-unquote casting out demons, whom do they cast it out by? Are they casting it out by the power of Beelzebub? Y'all wouldn't agree with that. But the fact that they acknowledged, or in a sense, they knew logically that what Christ was doing was a good work, did they not? I mean, that's logical. That's just a foregone conclusion that's given. But at the same time, they wanted to accuse Christ that, oh, he's casting out Satan, or casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. But he tells them, he said, you can't be on the fence about this. He said, you know, either make the tree good and its fruit good. So if you think that the works that I'm doing are good, the miracles that I'm doing are good, then it had to come from a good tree.
Right.
But see, y'all are saying that I'm casting out Satan by the power of Satan, then else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. Well, y'all know the fruit is good. You can't deny that. Well, then you have to acknowledge that it came from a good source also.
Amen.
Now, so what does Jesus say about this, about what these people, these men are saying? He says, "O generation of vipers, poisonous, terrible snake, how can ye, being evil, speak good things?" This is the key. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh."
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, please make note of that scripture in your Bible. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again, we're going to very quickly try to get into the book of James, but I wanted to go back here to the source. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I remember that I was talking to my children, and we were talking about, you know, our many things, but I mentioned to them, I said, let's give you an example. Say, for instance, they're at school, because I have one in college, and I have two that are still in high school, two young ladies. And I said, say, for instance, at school there, some young lady comes to school, and she's got a brand new handbag. You know, one of these high-dollar purses, maybe Prada or Michael Kors or something. And again, I don't know all about that. I just know those are very expensive handbags. And so they come to school, and then one of the other young ladies there sees that. Well, who does she think she is? That's a $500 handbag. Okay, well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, she just made an offhanded comment, and that she just let that fly. And that's all she said. You know, who does she think she is? But what is she really saying? Really, what is she saying? In a sense, she's saying, well, I'm jealous of the fact that other lady has a handbag. That handbag. Or I'm covetous of that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's give you another illustration. How about of an adult man? Say he's driving to work one morning. Maybe he's even running late, and he gets into an accident. He hits a young teenage boy on his way to high school. And then this man, again, maybe he had a big presentation at work or something to do today, and he just got so upset. You know, that he got in this wreck, I'm going to be late for work, and he just got all bent out of shape. He flew off at the handle about this young man. I can't believe, because maybe it was the young man's fault that he pulled out in front of him. He got all bent out of shape. And, you know, later on that evening, you know, they got through the wreck and exchanged insurance and all that, but he really made a terrible show of a witness when he got into that wreck. Maybe later on that evening, he even told his wife, you know, I just really said some stuff that I shouldn't have said. What kind of witness was that man to that young man? Maybe he even made the statement that, you know, this morning I got in a wreck and it just made me say some things that I shouldn't have said. That wreck didn't make you say anything.
Amen.
That's right.
What if the same man had gotten up that morning and had gotten up early and done his Bible study, spent some time with the Lord and had the Lord on his mind?
That's right.
And gotten that wreck, and then instead of saying those harsh and cruel and terrible words of witness, instead, you know what, son? It's just a car.
That's right. Amen.
It's all it is. It's a thing. He said, I am just tickled to death that neither one of you or I hurt. And then he consoles the young man. He shows grace in the life. You need to call your dad. Call your mom. Let them know everything's okay. Oh, my parents are going to be, they're going to be so upset. That I was driving my dad's truck to work today, son. Your mom and dad are going to be relieved that you're okay. I don't care about that old vehicle. That accident didn't make that man do anything, right?
Right.
It's evidence out of the word abundance means the overflow, the superabundance. It's the spilling out of. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Let's read on. So Jesus tells them, verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Well, there's a perfect example right here in the Scriptures that Christ has been healing. He's been doing these things, and these men have spoken evil of Christ, of what Christ has done. These men were religious Pharisees, religious Jewish leaders. They were, some of them were lawyers and doctors in the law. They knew all of that Old Testament Scripture, but they wanted to kill Jesus Christ. And by the way, they did. Later, they had him murdered. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. These people were evidencing what was in their heart, and Jesus referred to them as a generation of vipers. Now, he says in verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Well, Josh, I thought it had to do with our actions. By the way, in Christianity, a lot of times we always talk about deeds, do we not? Is that not right? You know, some y'all have heard the statement that I can't hear what you're saying because your actions speak so loudly. We focus so much on deeds, and that's understandable because that's one of the main fruits of our actions. But as I was studying through the book of James, I was floored by the amount of the scriptures that talk about the tongue and about the mouth. And that, brothers and sisters, God is not only concerned about our actions, He's also concerned about our speech.
Amen.
Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you and I are if we listen to what other people say, there are times when they will evidence. Just like here. For by thy words thou shalt be justified. He's not talking about eternally. He's just saying this is one more level of evidence. In other words, in addition to the fact that our deeds and our actions evidence what's inside of us, our words also evidence what's inside of us. In the same way that these Pharisees, that they couldn't stand what Christ was doing, even though He was doing a good thing, it evidenced the wickedness that was in their heart. Just like the man that got in the accident. You know, if he was a godly man, he had spent time with the Lord, and the Lord was on his mind, what came out as a result of that tragic situation, him getting a wreck, it evidenced what was already there.
That's right.
God is not just concerned with our actions. But this is what I want you to see. Oftentimes in Christianity, we treat the words that we say very, very laxly, very loosely. Oh, that's just a small thing. You know, I remember one time I taught a high school building trades for a couple years. And I took a group of my students to Natchez, Mississippi to see some of those beautiful old homes that had been built, and we looked at the carpentry and the construction. And while we were there, I remember walking down a hall of one of those, and there was two men dressed in very nice suits. They looked like preachers, and they weren't, but probably just businessmen that were visiting or whatever, and they happened to, while they were in that area, kill some time. They went and toured one of these homes. And as they were walking down the halls of that one of those houses, I remember them, they were speaking slightly loudly. We walked past them, and they were using several profane and cuss words. And I was thinking, man, what a poor witness.
Yeah.
That is, I'm here with a group of young people, but these men are quote-unquote businessmen who've done well in society, and then they're using this terrible, awful language. What a poor witness that is. If you will, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3. In James, chapter 3... He says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation." By the way, James, being a preacher, he's actually talking about two things. He's saying the fact that be careful not to run into the ministry, because it's a job that you speak with, that it's very easy to sin with your mouth. And also, he has another implication here, I believe. Be not many masters, in that there are not many that are master over their mouth. Master in the sense of being a complete and whole Christian, in the sense that they've really and truly gotten a handle on this thing. If they are, they're mature in the faith. Verse 2. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect or complete man." In other words, he's spiritually mature if he's gotten to the point where he's really not offending in word anymore. Again, we will never be fully to that. But it's saying that's a very hard task. "And able also to bridle the whole body." This man who can control this member of his body, he's really accomplished something. Verse 3. This is what I want you to notice. There's several illustrations he gives here. "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, they are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Stop right there. Look at the three things that the mouth is compared to. Or he gives us the illustration. He said, you know, take for instance a horse. A very great animal, a very powerful animal, used in industry, used in war, all these things. But you put one bit, one point of control can steer that whole animal. What about a ship, a very large ship? That they can, brothers and sisters, they have these massive ships now. And I mean, these men can just, they can guide those things into that dock and lay it right up against that dock and not harm a thing in the world. That one little helm, that one, that turret, that rudder, they can bring it right up to the edge. What about a fire? One little careless cigarette that somebody throws out in the national forest can burn down tens of thousands of acres, do millions of dollars worth of damage. Do these three things, a powerful animal, a powerful ship, a fire, do these things sound like small things? No. It's the exact opposite.
Amen.
And not only are they not small, they're extremely powerful. They can do great damage, or they can, in the sense of fire, can do great benefit also. But this is my point, and I believe the Scripture is trying to say here. Number one, God wants us to be in control of this thing that can get out of control very, very easily.
Right.
That's right.
Well, in addition to that, if God is so concerned about the quote-unquote small thing of our tongue, that, in other words, when we think about it, oh, Brother Josh, yeah, if you were to ask me, is God more concerned about our tongue or about our actions? Oh, it's about our actions, our deeds, what we're doing, that fruit we're bearing. Well, if God is so concerned about this little thing, how much more so is He concerned even about our actions and deeds?
Right.
So this is the level of seriousness and sobriety that we have to take this.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, let's talk about a fire, by the way, before we... Well, let me hit verse 6 and we'll come back to that. Brothers and sisters, James chapter 3, verse 6 tells us quite a lot. It says, and the tongue is a fire. Do y'all, sometimes, even as a preacher, I glance over statements in the Scriptures. I've read this passage of Scripture and about these passages of tongues so many times before, but I studied on this in James, and then I had one of my church members say, well, you know, Brother Josh, just the amount of stuff we study in this James, there seems to be a lot about this. That prompted me to even do a study on a Wednesday night about the tongue. And I was just blown away at the amount of Scriptures in the Old Testament and the New. And I'm not going to do that for time's sake today. You can go and look at that yourself. But it is unreal, the things that... And we're going to hit just a few of those this morning, the Bible compares to the tongue. But right here, it says, and the tongue is a fire. By the way, that means fiery. It's incendiary. It's like a bolt of lightning. If a careless cigarette thrown out can light a forest on fire, then the lightning bolt that is between our traps of teeth, you tell me what damage that can do.
Amen.
The tongue is a fire. But look at this. And it says it is, the tongue is a world of iniquity. The word world is cosmos. When I say that word out of my mouth, what does that make you think of? Brother Josh, one of them space shows that's on Nova, you know, talking about the universe and all the stars. Yeah, the cosmos. It's huge, right? It's large.
Right.
Well, the tongue is a cosmos of iniquity.
Yes.
That's how large a thing it is. And again, understand, we're talking about, in mine and your daily understanding and interaction, we're talking about the thing that you and I as account being the smallest thing in regard to mine and your service of the Lord. Is that not right? That's the way we perceive it. Oh, Brother Josh, God's more concerned about my actions. Yes, God is concerned about our actions, and yes, they should be weighty. But the tongue is also weighty, and if the tongue, in our estimation, is the lesser thing, how much more so are the deeds to be?
Right.
So the tongue is a fire and a cosmos of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, like the that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. That's some strong language.
Amen.
That illustration of the man who got in the accident, that's an illustration of that morning when he did not spend time with the Lord. To say he was a Christian. He was a child of God. But at that time, because of his lack of being with the Lord, he was in the flesh at that moment. And he allowed his flesh to take over, and therefore his tongue was set on fire of hell as a result of his flesh, and therefore he had a terrible witness. And now that young man, what kind of example was he to him?
That's right.
And how much more damage can it do? You know, I want to give you a couple of illustrations about gossip. Let me read for you, and I put a picture of this on my phone because I didn't want to write it all down. There is a sports writer out of Atlanta. He writes for the Atlanta Journal, and he wrote this. He said, "I am more deadly than the screaming shell from the howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me. No purity pure enough to daunt me. I have no regard for truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often as innocent. I never forget and seldom forgive. And my name is gossip."
Yes.
Right. Brothers and sisters, that can come out of my mouth and your mouth as a child of God. Is that not right? We have the ability to do that. Our tongue has the ability to be set on fire of hell out of our old fallen, depraved nature, and to do great and terrible damage. Like a ship that's out of control that slams into the dock. The fire that burns thousands of acres down, kills numerous people, and does a tremendous amount of damage. And it's the smallest thing in mine and your estimation in regard to our obedience to the Lord. I know of Christian men and deacons and inside and outside the Old Baptist Church just to think, oh, it's no big deal. You know, if we... Brothers and sisters, I work in the construction industry. There are men that I work with that can't even talk without using the F word. I mean, they can't even speak. That's the way they live. I hear it every day of my life. But God calls me to never use it.
Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Does that mean I've never used it in my entire life? I've failed Him in my language before. I have. But by God's grace, I try not to every single day of my life.
That's right.
And I make it a habit not to do that. You know, the tongue being compared to a fire, and says it is a fire. I wrote down a little list here. Yes, fire can kill. Yes, fire can destroy. It can damage. It can harm. It can cause great loss. You know, fire can steal and kill and destroy. Who does that remind you of?
Yeah.
It can disfigure. It can weaken. It can make war. But you know what else fire can do? Fire can comfort.
Yes.
It can bring light and warmth and hope to the weary traveler. It can bring protection. It can prepare food and nourish. It can purify and cleanse.
That's right.
You know, in agriculture, they use it they'll burn down a forest of pine trees, and it'll feed those trees that are fire retardant, and it'll put potash back in the soil. It'll nourish them and help them to grow strong and tall. Brothers and sisters, you and I, as children of God, have the ability to not use our tongue in a terrible way.
Right.
God has given us victory to walk over our flesh.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
James says here, beginning there in verse 7, he says, "For every kind of beast and of bird and of serpent and of things in sea is tamed and have been tamed of mankind." Y'all know we have killer whales and fish tanks.
Yes.
Do we not? There are people that charm poisonous cobras. If they bite you, you're going to die in about 10 minutes. I mean, there are people that have shows in Las Vegas that have tigers that would tear you to shreds. We've tamed those beasts, right? Man has ability over that. That's what it's talking about here. But in verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Do you know a young girl at school who don't weigh 80 pounds soaking wet can tear another girl to shreds like a ravenous, vicious tiger?
Yeah, right.
And destroy her spirit to the point where another young lady who doesn't know any better or is ignorant even comes to the point that she wants to commit suicide.
Right. Right.
Is that not true?
Yeah.
Y'all tell me if this tongue in our mouth that's referred to as fire, it's a bolt of lightning, is a small thing. And you and I account it in regard to our obedience to the Lord as one of the least things. Well, if it's one of the least things, and we see how serious it is, then how much more serious do we need to be taking our Christianity?
Amen.
He goes on to say, talking about our tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be.
Amen.
Wow, what an admonition. He's telling me that I need to keep a rein on that bit. I need to make sure I'm putting a rudder in the right place. I need to make sure the fire doesn't get out of its bounds. I need to dig a fire trench around it. Don't let it get out of bounds. Because if I let it get out of control, God is saying, you know, Josh, it needs to overflow out of the abundance of your heart, those godly things that minister grace to the hearers and comfort and protection and hope and encouragement. It doesn't need to do the other thing. I remember a story years ago I heard on the radio that the story was this way. It said that there was a Jewish rabbi in a big city, and there was a member of his congregation that got very mad at him. Didn't say why, but this member of his congregation proceeded to spread gossip about this rabbi. He did. And later on, he felt very downcast that he had done this, ashamed. And he went back to Rabbi and said, Rabbi, I'm the one who did this. I said this stuff, and I'm sorry. And the rabbi told him, he said, I forgive you. But the man asked him, he said, is there anything that I can do? Anything that you would like me to do? He said, there is one thing. He said, I want you to take a feather pillow. He said, I want you to go to the top of the highest hill in our city. He said, I want you to open it up. He said, I don't understand. He said, just do what I ask if you don't mind. So he did. He took a feather pillow and ripped it open on the highest hill, and he just saw it blow. He saw all the feathers spread across the countryside for miles and miles. The wind just carried it. He came back to Rabbi and said, Rabbi, I did what you asked. He said, but I don't understand why you asked me to do it. He said, is there anything else I can do? He said, yes, one thing. He said, go pick up all the feathers. We can't do it.
Amen.
I want to read for you just a couple more scriptures and we're done. In the book of Psalms, in the Old Testament, and again, brothers and sisters, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of verses that pertain to the tongue. But in Psalm 52, let me read the first five verses very quickly. The Bible says in Psalm 52:1, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. The tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Wow. Pretty severe. Look at Psalm 57. First five verses, Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue is a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. The Bible refers the tongue here in these places to a short sword, to an arrow. I am a 4-H rifle instructor with the young people of our county, and we shoot 22 rifles. I've been doing that for 10 years now. I'm concerned about every single bullet. It only takes one.
That's right.
One. Just one. I have literally had the ability to coach hundreds of children at our multi-county events. There'll be 600 youth that are shooting rifles and firearms. We are concerned about every single bullet, and we take great safety measures. Because if one stray bullet, it could be tragic and awful. Brothers and sisters, this is the level of seriousness that the Bible treats the tongue. By the way, that bullet is that old, our modern day era, of the modern day era. The tongue is no different.
Right.
You and I account it as the smallest thing, oftentimes in our mind, as in regard to our obedience to God. But if it's the smallest thing, I want you to see how big of a thing it really is.
Amen.
And then how much more so do you and I need to have a rein on it, have it under control. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Amen. Amen. Here in the name.